This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single pocket-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4.something Michael O'Neill and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 4.0 to Pro, your pocket-sized pickleball podcast where we teach you a single shot or strategy every single episode except this one. I am Michael O'Neill here in Long Beach, California, joined by my good pal, Mr. Scott Fliegelman in Boulder, Colorado. Hello, Mr. Scott Fliegelman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Michael. I can't wait to hear about your average normal weekend of yours.
I had a weekend in Coconut Creek, Florida, which is it's kind of outside of Pompano Beach, Delray Beach, Fort Lauderdale-ish. And it was the NPL Combine. And I'm going to get into what all of that means in a second. First and foremost, I want to tell you really quickly about the NPL in general. I had a long conversation with Rick Witskin, who is one of the three founders of the NPL, along with Michael Chen and Beth Bellamy. He was so warm and friendly and great and chatty all weekend. And I could just tell how much passion he has in the NPL. And the whole reason he started the NPL is because, and you, maybe you could speak to this, is you guys have been these 50 plus year old senior pro players, let's just say have not been treated the best by the big tournaments that are available to us in the country. There was a contingent of people that would leave these tournaments and feel very frustrated. And I think Rick finally just said, there has to be a better way to do this, and said, let's do this, and connected with Michael and Beth to create the NPL, which was meant to serve the 50-year-old and over pro pickleball player, very good players, and give them a place to connect and play with each other and have a lot of camaraderie and amazing competition. And I'm curious about your experience with not only sort of the big tournaments, but your NPL experience as a converse to those.
I've enjoyed all of my senior pro experience thus far. I think there was a need for the NPL. I'm super grateful to Beth and to Rick and to Michael and Tom DiCaprio was involved in getting things off the ground as well. So thank you, Tom. You know, when I was in my 20s trying to play professional sports, I really didn't give any thought whatsoever to the 50 plus set out there. But I feel like this is a little bit different because the demographic of the average pickleball player and pickleball fan continues to skew a little bit older than many other sports. And it's easier for those spectators, whether live or on TV, to identify with the 50 plus pro. It's much more difficult to see what Thomas Wilson and Jack Sock and Ben Johns and the others out there are doing on the court and make any sense whatsoever to the average 60-year-old player's game. It's a little bit easier to see that in what we do out there. So this is the first time I've ever been 56. I'm obviously a little bit biased, but I think there's definitely a place for the NPL, the Seniors League team-based competition. And I've credited before on the show, I think Ken Herman in the APP does a very good job for the 50-plus set, but they also have another 800 to 1,000 players to tend to most weekends. It's not usually my place, but I do not feel that PPA should be offering Senior Pro. They really don't respect the category all that well. If they want to offer 50-plus 5-0, I think that'd be great, but they're not prepared to deliver a senior pro experience, and I don't think they should offer it. So super grateful to NPL, and I'm fired up for this season and hoping you're going to be a part of it.
It's really funny you said what you said about being a professional, because I had always had this goal of being a pro something, some sort of pro athlete. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a pro BMX flatland rider. Then I was really getting pretty close as a downhill racer, a dual slalom racer, before it sort of got a little bit too dangerous. And then racquetball, I was sort of a step below, but kind of hanging in there. I was kind of right on the cusp, but I probably needed to start that sport 15 years earlier than I did to get there. So I sort of thought when I heard of the NPL, well, this could be my last shot to turn pro at a thing. And when I went to visit Arizona for the finals last year, a couple things stood out to me. Number one, the players are very, very good. I remember watching these matches, and then I think it was the following week, I went to the PPA San Clemente and was like, there wasn't a degradation between what I just watched and these pro matches. Are they a little more like fast and athletic? Yes, but man, the games were absolutely just as exciting to watch over the age of 50 as they were under. So that was really cool. And I thought, all right, well, I got some work to do. But I also loved the camaraderie and the community that that group had. And it was like, yeah, okay. And my thought was, could I hang with this? So as the 2024 season will be implemented in a couple of months, what the NPL has done, this is their second season, is they've implemented a draft. And the draft not only has their, I want to say it's 32, you'll correct me on my numbers. Is it 32 signed players that you know of, Scott?
I do not know exactly how many signed players there are.
I think it's 32. They've got 12 teams. Six teams from last year, six expansion teams, and they're spread out all over the country. Each team has 14 players, including two players that are required to be over 60. So one male over 60, one female over 60, which leaves 12 players available to be drafted by these team owners. So they decided, well, let's run a combine. There's a lot of diamonds in the rough in the United States. Let's run a combine and give a chance to these team owners to watch some of these players that we all have in our communities that are great and are willing to make the effort, make the time sacrifice, get the babysitters, pay for the flights, pay for the hotels to get to these two combines, one of which was outside of Fort Lauderdale and the other one I believe is outside of Dallas. And that one's in a couple weeks. So in ours, I believe we had 120 players, 60 men, 60 women. And in the Dallas one, they have 80. So we've got 200 players in the combine, plus the 32 that are signed pros. And then I don't know how many people that aren't signed but played last year. Let's say it's another 80 or so. So with that pool, we've got 300 plus players. We really have 144 slots, 32 of which will be taken by the signed players. So we've got 112 slots. And then of those slots, there's going to be a number of known people that played last year. So there's probably, I don't know, 60 to 80. Does that sound about right to you in terms of like draftable new players playing in this season's NPL events?
It does sound about right. And I want to just make a quick comment that you mentioned players across the United States, but last year there were a handful of international players as well from Australia, Singapore, and a couple of other spots. So it truly is an international field. So when you make it, you'll feel even better that it's not just the US based team league for 50 plus, it's worldwide.
That is super cool. I didn't know that. And that's amazing. So I thought, you and I have been working together for a year now. I saw the competition in Phoenix and I've played in a couple of senior pro tournaments now. And I thought, okay, well, I can hang. And I got there on Thursday. Friday, we had a little meet and greet in the evening after a few kind of practice games. We were at this beautiful facility, the Diadem Indoor Pickleball Facility in Broward College, I believe it is. And I want to say they have, I think it was 12 courts. And it was an old theater. It was like a huge theater. Like there was a huge stage and all of this space where the seats would have been. And now there are these beautiful courts. It's got, you know, 40-foot high ceilings. The stage is where they have all the tables set up. They've got two bars. There's music playing. It's a really killer facility. So thank you to those guys for hosting us. And I got in a few practice games. And again, the first thing is, am I going to be able to hang with these folks? And I felt absolutely like I could. So the actual competition was broken into pods. And they broke each group into eight people. And we all mix and match. So it was a round robin format. So we basically played seven games. And this was the interesting part. The criteria wasn't really related to how many games you won. In fact, to an owner, and there was all 12 teams represented and multiple people per team walking around with clipboards, putting eyeballs on all the players, writing notes. They've got a full list. They've got photos that they're carrying around. We all have our names on our jerseys and shirts, so they know who we are. And I'll tell you my strategy along with that, Scott. There was a strategy involved. And to an owner, they didn't seem to care about your game score at all. They didn't care if you went 0-7 or 7-0. And the reason why is because we're all paired with different people. You never know what's going to happen. They were looking for kind of three main criteria. Number one, probably 40% was how well you play. 30% was how well you got along with everybody, how you were as a teammate, how you were you friendly? Was it easy to play with you on a court? They were looking at all that stuff. Were you encouraging? Did you get mad when you missed a point? Did you yell? Did you whack your paddle? You know, things like that. And then the other 30%, I didn't realize this, was your kind of intangibles. And those intangibles could be any number of things, not the least of which were your following out in the world, because they are trying to grow NPL as a brand. And I thought, okay, well, I'm generally a friendly dude and I've got a pretty decent following. We've got what I consider to be the number one pickleball podcast in the world. Shout out. So, all right. So Saturday rolls around and I was in the afternoon group, thankfully, because I'm going from west to east. Jet lag was a thing for me. I'd been getting up 4 a.m. every morning prior to this, Scott, just to try to get my body acclimated to playing at what would be basically like 4 or 5 a.m. California time, which was bonkers to think about. So I started waking up really early, got very productive. But my first strategy was I want to stand out. So I wore my neon yellow and green 4.0 to pro dry fit shirt on Saturday, and I wore a neon pink shirt on Sunday because I wanted to be spotted from anywhere on the stage looking down at the courts at 120 people. And I'll tell you something, I talked to three owners and it totally worked. They could spot me from a mile away and they said, oh, we saw you were in the neon, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I was, in fact. The first game I played on Saturday was a little jittery. I was playing about 12:30 and I was a little jittery. It wasn't great. It was okay. I think I lost. But then that second game, I started playing pretty good. And I will say that every time I had eyeballs on me, so, you know, out of the corner of your eye, you're saying, all right, here's an owner. These guys are holding some clipboards. I think I made a great play or represented myself well. And even though I actually went 2-5 for the day, I remember leaving on Saturday going, that's as good as I can play. Like, if this wasn't enough, then I'm not good enough for this league. But I felt like I had plenty of points. And it's funny, I went 2-5, but much like an NFL game, it kind of broke down into like three plays. Our pod was either the best or the second best of the entire group. So everybody was like a 1A or a 1. You know, it was a very, very good, tight group. And, you know, everybody had strengths and weaknesses and people made mistakes and some people were great, but nobody was like otherworldly. I didn't feel like there was a crazy, wow, that guy is so much better than everybody else in this group. We were all pretty equal. So to me, it really came down to the other two parts, which were the friendliness and then the intangible part. So I spent a lot of time kissing babies and shaking hands. I really walked around and had a lot of conversations. I will say a ton of people there are huge fans of the show. I ran into Kim Jade for the first time. I'd never spoken to her before. She's like number one super fan. I know you're the shout out guy, but I'll shout out Yvonne and Ken and Michael 444, Natasha as well. You guys were all awesome. There was a number of other people that I like took pictures with and stuff because they were huge fans of the show. And I remember leaving there going, that was awesome. That was the most fun I've ever had on a pickleball court. That Saturday with that group of people, the conversations we had, the playing was insane. The camaraderie was awesome. And I loved it. So that was my Saturday. I will let you finally say three words.
I don't think our listeners care to listen to me right now. I mean, this is why we play the game. It's everything I'd hoped to hear from you. We briefly talked about a game plan for the weekend. And I know I shared with you that no matter what happens, it likely figures to be a really fun weekend of rec and networking. And you're comfortable in that environment. I know some really good players who did not get drafted last year because they didn't do those things.
Yeah.
They didn't reach out. They didn't provide intangibles. They didn't own intangibles, whatever it was. But good for you for getting out there and doing that and having a great time. I'm stoked that you had a chance to spend some time with Kim Jade. She and I have played some tournaments together. She's an awesome partner, awesome human being. And oh, by the way, one of the owners of one of the new teams in the league. So that doesn't hurt.
No.
So, you know, you're making your mark. And I've discussed with Kim and some of the other owners that with 12 teams with 14 players, it's less players per team than last year, but more total players. And boy, that pod three on each team. So there's going to be pod one with two men, two women, pod two with two men, two women, and pod three with two men, two women. And I think that's just going to make the difference every event because there's so many unknowns, diamonds in the rough that you like to say. And it's going to be difficult for the owners to make their selections based off of this past weekend at the next combine on talent alone. So chemistry and upside potential has to be critically important this year. And an owner has to see players who might get a half or three quarters of a point better throughout the season and match them up with some leaders and some veterans who like to share and watch those teams get better throughout the season. I was on a team last year that on paper was kind of an all-star team, but we had some injuries and some chemistry challenges, and we just never really found our stride throughout the season. And I know that this year owners are prioritizing chemistry and upside potential. And I'm hoping that you did everything that you could this past weekend to fit into that mix for at least a couple of owners.
I hope so too. I really left there on Saturday feeling like I'm draftable. That was a draftable human being that left there. What's funny about that is on Sunday, because of my somewhat poor record on Saturday, they split the pods into a morning group and an afternoon group, whereas the afternoon group were the people that basically won their pods and they were put into the what would have been sort of center court. And then the rest of us were in the morning. And dude, I'll tell you what, that morning session was as rough or rougher than I thought it was going to be.
How so?
Because it was 4 a.m. my time. I did my best. I woke up at what would have been 3:20 a.m. California time to get there and was on court at about 4 a.m. California time. And I'll tell you, man, those first two or three games were as foggy as I've ever been on a court. There was a couple shots that I hit or attempted to hit that I jokingly said to myself, because I did it four times in a row, and I was like, I don't even have that shot. I've never hit it in my life. I've never even attempted the thing I just tried to do four times. And finally, on the fifth time, I did it right. It was like game three that I did it right. So I probably brought my C-plus game on Sunday, and I actually had more wins than I did on Saturday. I did feel like I left it all out there the day before, but yeah, I definitely felt a little brain fog in the crack of dawn.
Understandably. I mean, you do more than most to get yourself acclimated and do a little advanced work to wake up early and everything. But being in California, you're going to need to come east for all of these events. So
But they're not going to start at 7 a.m. probably.
We were on site at 7 a.m. at most of these events. Now, some of these were four pod events and different venues, you know, at Chicken and Pickle that didn't have as many courts. So
okay.
Ideally, we're not starting at 7 a.m., but
yeah,
you know, that's just one of those Gross. Things. You know, as a professional athlete, you just may have to get yourself out of bed. And,
right, exactly. You
know, that may be the case.
I did wake up at 4 a.m. the previous week just to try to get my body to wake up a little bit, but it was the first time I'd ever had to test it. And I was like, yeah. This is all right. So I'm not sure if this is exactly right.
I was not much of a morning person until triathlon. Mm. And triathlon made me a morning person. I'm still not a morning person, but boy, you got to get yourself into a rubber suit and into the cold water while it's dark out. Ugh. And that's a special morning that I don't miss. I really, really don't miss that part of it. Hey, let me ask you a question. You mentioned earlier how many people are qualified or the criteria to get in and all of that stuff. Were there a couple of winners of the combine that get automatically drafted?
Yeah, there was two men and two women that if they won the entire competition with the best record, really on day two, because day one sort of merged into day two, then they were automatic drafts. So I guess, yeah, there's four less slots. Now there's 108 minus the people that were coming back from last year.
And the winners of the next combine as well.
That's probably correct as well.
Yeah. And I must say that last year's winners of the combines turned out to be really good players. They definitely showed that it helped the cream rise to the top for sure. So that's good. That worked last year. But also all the other reasons why you should feel good about your weekend, you know, still hold true.
Yeah. I mean, I came home feeling really happy about the whole thing and going, all right, well, that was cool, man. That was great. There are things that I will absolutely start working on. There's a few spots that I still want to fill. In fact, you don't know this, but I'm coming to Colorado this weekend. But overall, I thought, okay, I can hang. I think I'm right in there. And now it's up to me over the course of 2024. You know how hard I like to train and how much I commit to being a student of the game and getting better at something. I've done that with every sport we've ever trained in. And this is no exception. Whether or not I get drafted, there's a few spots in my game that I'm going to want to shore up and make better and be more consistent with. And this was fantastic. There's a few shots that I saw some people hit that I'm like, ooh, I'm going to add that to the arsenal. That was a really cool shot. And there's a few things that we'll talk about. In fact, we should do a show on paddle speed. I want to do a whole show on paddle speed because it's the big difference between your dinks and your drops and what I see most people doing. It's something that you do really, really well. The speed of your brush on the back of the ball gives it the shape that you get. And I don't want to say it's unique to you, but certainly it's one of the better ones I've seen now that I've been exposed to now hundreds of different pickleball players. So,
well, speaking of speed, I'm sure our listeners are curious what your 40-yard dash time was, as well as how many times you bench pressed to 225, because that's what you do at a combine, right?
I did a 4.34 40, and I did that in dress shoes, so that was cool. And then my vertical was a 47. So it was pretty good for a short guy. I did almost, 5 feet of jump. So that was
Think the social media peeps at the NPL need to throw something humorous together.
Slow-mo.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, the 40s would be really fast. And how many times can anyone there bench 225?
That would be very... Yes! Yes! Scott Fliegelman had an aneurysm today.
Missy Grant. I want to see her bench press 225. Missy's a heck of a player from the Austin team last year who probably does not weigh three digits, but is a heck of a pickleball player. So that 225 coming down off the bench would be a scary sight.
Well, the moral of this story, Scott, the reason I'm sharing this with everybody in this little bonus episode is I want everybody to know that you've got an outlet. If you're, let's say, 45 plus and you're a good player and you're listening to this show and you're actively trying to get better, you will have a playground to play in over 50 where you will be able to connect with other people that are just as good or better, hopefully, than you are. And we've got an outlet now that's super friendly, a great community. It did make me rethink the regular groups that I play with, Scott, and trying to make sure that I connect with people that are this level, in addition to everybody else, but certainly this level on a somewhat regular basis so I can make sure I keep sharpening the sword.
Well, I'm excited for one. You're not attending the second combine, correct?
Correct.
Just the one and done?
One and done.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you collected names and contacts and you'll do everything you can in the interim. We got a couple of months until the draft and I'll be there. And I'm hoping that at least one owner has the wisdom to select you for their squad.
Me too. Where is the draft? You said you'll be at the draft. Is it a live draft?
So there will be a draft the week leading to the U.S. Open. And then they do a draft reveal party the opening weekend of the U.S. Open in Naples. So I attended that last year. And that was super cool. A lot of people, their dreams came true, just like you're talking about. First time being a professional athlete and a name read at the podium. I don't expect Roger Goodell will be there, but you never know. So yeah, that's how that's going to go down. And there'll be a lot of excitement the week leading up to it. A lot of owners talking to some veteran players. I expect they'll get a couple of phone calls and they'll be asking who I've got my eyes on. And hopefully people ask me their opinion of you.
For what it's worth, and this is 100% true, I told at least four owners that you should be the number one draft pick, if only for your scouting ability for the rest of the team. Because you're so good at scouting everybody. And strategically, what an advantage for the weekend to have a guy like Fleegs on your team. So
yeah, thank you, man. There are some really good players there. And I know the owners, some of them will appropriately prioritize maybe picking a woman player first, just depending upon the way they're going to build their team. Assuming Beth Bellamy is healthy and ready to go, you can't go wrong there. She was practically unbeatable last year with it didn't matter who was on court with her. So that's great. I'm looking forward to the season no matter how it plays out. I expect to be asked to do more than just play well on the court. I can't wait to be a team leader and a team coach and help the newer, younger, and veteran players improve throughout the season. What a great opportunity for me. So feeling pretty lucky about it.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for letting me download and debrief, Scott. By the way, we haven't shared this before, so you're just finding this stuff out literally right now on the show, and I did that on purpose. I wanted your actual reaction to it. So
yeah. No, I love listening to you speak in the beginning, and you know, we joked, all right, it's time for Scott to talk a little bit, but I think our listeners were excited to hear your excitement, and I'm glad you suggested that we share that with them live.
Well, guys, you've now just listened to a bonus episode of 4.0 to Pro. By the way, share this with everyone. We love when you share the show with people. And again, I had a number of people that said, we love it. We listen to every episode. I shared it in all my groups. Like, it was super cool being part of that. So that was really neat. And thank you guys, especially everybody I gave a shout out to that high-fived at the place. And that was awesome. So thank you, Scott, for taking your time. Go do your thing. And we'll see you guys next time in a couple of days.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.